All right, so phase two of research hypothesis testing in multiple regression, comparing model performance across populations, comparing model performance across criteria. Cross groups. This involves the same basic idea as comparing a bivariate correlation to cross groups, only now we're working with a multivariate model. This sort of analysis has important theoretical uses, different behavioral models for different groups, as well as psychometric applications. Part of the evaluation if measures are equivalent for different groups, such as gender, race, across cultures, or within cultures over time. There's two different versions of this question. This is the only question where you've got two versions, and you have to decide which one you care about because they might not give you the same answer. Does the R-square of a predictor set differ between the groups? Here we're asking, does this set of predictors, whatever the structure of the model, does this set of predictors work equally well in two different populations? And that's going to be easy. We're just going to use Fisher's Z-test. Fisher's Z-test doesn't really care if that R that you want to compare is a small r or a large r, because, once again, the R-square for a particular model is the same as the correlation between the criterion and the predicted criterion based on those predictors. Sorry, square that. A model is represented by what it predicts. And so every multiple regression reduces to a bivariate regression. And so all we have to do is plug those two correlations into Fisher's Z-test, and we immediately know if the difference is significant or not. The second question, which is usually the more interesting and usually the more theoretically relevant, is whether the structure of the model differs between the groups. That is, whether the B-weights of the predictors differ between the groups. And this is a little more complicated. We're going to end up comparing these as if they were non-nested models, because that non-nested comparison, including the correlation between the two models being compared, is perhaps our most general technique. Some ideas. The more collinear the variables being substituted, the more collinear the models will be. And for this reason, there can be strong collinearity between two models that share no predictors. A lot of the times, we ask questions that are splitting hairs. We're asking which of two predictors that are highly correlated might lead to different results. The weaker the two models, the less likely they are to be differentially correlated with the criterion. And as always, if you could tell me how much of a difference you care about, I can test if there's at least that much difference. But most of the time, we wuss right out and go with the nil-null. Also, because we're doing non-nested type comparisons, these across populations are kind of weak. Okay, it takes a big old honking sample to do a real good job. Well, here's the procedure. We've got two groups, and I don't care if you consider them populations, subpopulations. They may be experimentally created groups. That's where this gets really fun, is when you show that a particular treatment or manipulation not only changes the means of the criterion, but it changes how you would predict scores on that criterion. Group one gets called group one because it has the larger sample size. Our primary significance test is going to happen within one group or within the other. And so you want to do it in the larger group so that you have more power. Make sense? Group 2 is called group 2 because it has a smaller sample size. If they're exactly the same, it doesn't matter which one you pick. First thing we're going to do is we're going to go with the group 1 data, and we are going to get ourselves what's called a direct model. In other words, we're just going to run a regular multiple regression with the criterion and the predictors in that model, and that's known as the R-square direct for group 1. We're then going to come over, and we're going to do our second analysis with the same model and the same criterion on group 2. And this is cleverly known as R-square direct for group 2. If we want to know whether the set of predictors works better in group 1 or in group 2, we compare them using Fisher's Z-test. Nothing to it. I threw it out. We'll show you later. If, however, we want to know whether this set of predictors has the same structure and therefore makes the same predictions as the predictors with the other set of weights, we're going to do what's called a crossed model. We're going to take the model from group 2 and we're going to impose it on group 1. We're going to actually write a compute statement. Okay? SPSS will do this one for us. We have to do this one, where we're going to take this model and compute it, but only for the people in group 1. Then, that gives us R square crossed on group 1. And we're going to compare the direct and the crossed R square using either the Hotelling's t-test or the Meng-Rosenthal, also known as the Zeigert's t-test. Make sense? We'll show you one. But this is the basic idea. You can't compare this set of weights and that set of weights because there are different sets of weights on different groups. So you've got two things you're changing at once. The old rule, you can only change one thing at a time. So you drag this model over, impose it on this. This number will always be less than that number. Okay? Because this one's optimally fit. I mean, we're cheating in a sense that we're evaluating the model on the same sample that we used to develop it. That's as good as it's going to get. So the cross model is always going to be a little poorer. The question is if it's statistically significantly poorer. If it is, it must be because the structure is different, because we aren't doing as good a job of predicting based on the cross model as on the direct model. The reason we have to actually calculate this is we have to get that value, and we also have to get the correlation between these two models. So that's one of them. It's a little more labor intensive than some of the other things, but it's really not bad. And when you get used to it, these things crank out in about 45 seconds. And this is not a crisis.